Revelation chapter 6, I hope you have your Bible. Now, Revelation chapter 6, I think, if you didn't read this and then you read the other part, I think you would miss a great deal. I really believe this teaches us a lot about not only what's going to happen, but what is lining up right now to happen. And I don't think, in last week we talked about the sealed book, and there was nobody worthy to open it until the Lamb of God said he would open it. He was the only one powerful enough and worthy, because that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, we're going to see where he opens it, and we'll get to see what's in it from here on, okay? People are not as interested in the book of Revelation as they used to be, because they think they have it all figured out. They really do. They think they have it all figured out. The science and the mathematical geniuses, you know, and the stargazers and all these people. I read stuff all the time, and these people really think they have the future figured out. And, boy, it amazes me some of the things they came up with. I was listening on the way back from Suzanne's yesterday to National Public Radio, and that ought to be National Liberal Radio that we all pay for. I was listening, It was talking about astronomers, and I thought, well, this would be kind of interesting. And it was talking about stars and things like that. And it was talking about our sun compared to other suns, and if how big they are, how small they are. And it talked about exploding suns. And one day our sun was going to explode. It was going to get bigger and bigger, and then it was going to explode. And the first thing came to my head, I said, how do they know that? Have they ever seen one do that? No, they've never seen one do that. It's all suppositional science. Suppose this happens and suppose that happens. And nobody's... And then they'll go on and say, 50 billion years ago, this star over here, it imploded or it exploded. How do you know that? Who was there? And then they'll say, well, we saw this blip on the screen of the picture we was taking. And it took it 50 million years to get here. You've got to have more faith than I have to believe junk like that. And they predict that the earth's going to do this and the sun's going to do that. And it's never happened anywhere in anybody's lifetime that's ever lived. There's no recorded history of it. But yet they speak of it in certainty. In certainty. And I read the Bible, and I read about four horsemen, and they look at me and say, man, you're a nut if you believe that kind of stuff. And I look at them and say, I'm a nut. Look at what you believe. Amen. So let's read it tonight. Let's just believe what it says. Amen. Look at verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, here's the Lamb of God. They searched for him. Now, he's come, and he's opened the book. And when he opened the book, they heard thunder in heaven. That represents the power and the presence of God. Powerful. You ever heard thunder that rattled the windows in your house? Amen. That's a powerful thing. Just think what it would be like if God spoke, what it would rattle. Amen. And so here it is. He's opened the book. And he said, one of the four beasts saying, now we talked about those four beasts, those cherubims last week and week before. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, it depends on who you read behind. And like John R. Rice said, the Bible sure will shed a lot of light on those commentaries. You probably ought to read the Bible first. Amen. Read the Bible. So many people read commentaries and then they'll read the Bible. And they're confused before they ever get to the Scripture. What you need to do is read the Bible first. You say, I don't understand it. Read it anyway. Keep on reading. It usually explains itself as you go on. But here's the Lord, and he's opened that first seal, and out came a man riding a white horse. And God gave him a crown. And he went forth to conquer. Now, a lot of symbolism there. I told you when we started this, if common sense makes sense, leave it alone. But if it doesn't, then it's illustrative of something else, or it represents something else. So here's a man on a white horse. And of course, white always represents the good guy, doesn't it? The good guy rides a white horse, wears a white hat. That's the way it used to be anyway, you remember? But he appears to be a good guy. It disappears. He's going forward to conquer the whole world. It appears he may be the Savior. It appears like he may be the coming Savior. He may be the Messiah. And remember, this is all for the Jew. Remember that the tribulation period is to bring the nation of Israel to God. Not the whole world. Lot will come because of it. But this is get the nation of Israel where it ought to be. And now here comes a man riding a white horse. He's got crowns. He's got a bow. He's conquering. And it looks like finally our Messiah has arrived. The Muslims are looking for one too, by the way. They are. And they think by war they can bring him in. And so now here he comes. He's riding a white horse. You say, this must be the Lord. No, 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 no. I'm telling you, a little Bible knowledge will ruin a whole lot of good preaching sometimes. Look at Revelation 19. Flip over to Revelation 19. Let's see what the Lord looks like when he comes. He looks a whole lot different. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He's on a white horse now. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he's to judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, not a bow, not an arrow, but a sword, that with it he should smite the nations and should rule over them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now that's the Savior. That's the Messiah they're looking for. The first one's a fake. He's an imposter. And boy, don't we see more and more imposters every day? Amen. You know, it used to be people were afraid to make fun of the Bible and imitate people in the Bible and fake preachers and fake healers and all this stuff. People were afraid to do that, but they've lost their fear now. They've lost their fear. We see a lot of imposters. They look good. They sound good. They quote Scripture. They use religious buildings and religious organizations. And just to look at them, you would think, well, that's one of them. But if you get to checking them out according to the Scripture, you'll find out that they are not. They're imposters. And Jesus said that was going to happen. And if you look with me in Matthew 24, look at verse 5 and 6. Keep your finger in Matthew, by the way. Matthew 24. A lot to explain. A lot of people read Matthew 24 out of context. Matthew 24 is the tribulation period. It's not the rapture period. It's not right before the rapture. It's right before the second coming, not before the rapture. Look at Matthew 24. Look at verse 4 and 6. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So here's an imposter Christ. He's a counterfeit. And he's coming in the name of peace. He's wearing white. He's riding a white horse. He's got a bow without an arrow. He's conquering the world by peaceful means, not by war. And that's what you would expect a Savior to do, wouldn't you? No, sir, go back and read Revelation. He's coming back to make war. Jesus is coming back to make war, not peace. When he's come back, he's coming back in all his fury. And it's going to be payday, buddy. It's not going to be no more little suffering servant. It's not going to be a gentle Savior. It's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's going to be carrying a sword. And listen, with that sword, He's going to smite the nations. And He's going to rule them with a rod of iron, not an empty bow. Empty bow can't do anything. But see, that's the way the world expects Him to come. With an empty bow, making peace, riding a white horse, dressed in white, speaking nice, peace, sweet things. Watch out for that one. There's one in Rome right now. There's one in Rome right now. When he comes to America, he talks about how great the Christians in America are. When he goes to the Middle East, he talks about how great the Muslims are. He calls them our brothers. He says we've got the same God. And the scriptures are sacred. They're scriptures. That's a lie right out of hell. Every bit of that. But he's wearing white. And he's riding in a white Pope mobile. And he's giving the peace sign. And he's kissing babies. And he's coming in the name of a church and religion and peace. But he is a imposter. He is not the Savior. Amen? Martin Luther, when he had a report to the Pope, and by the way, it wouldn't go for years. He nailed 96 or 99? I never can remember. These things, I believe. He nailed them on the door of his church. He was a Catholic priest who started reading the Bible, and they weren't supposed to read the Bible. And he said he got saved by faith. And he announced that. And he told everybody in his church, you have to be born again. You can't be baptized to be saved. You must be born again. He started preaching that. And the Pope got mad at him. But he was in Germany. And the German people loved him. And the German king wouldn't turn him over to the Pope for several years. The Pope would send for him and say, send Luther over here. I need to talk to him. And the king knew he wanted to kill Luther. And finally, the Pope threatened. He said, I've got three nations, three armies surrounding you, and I'm going to send them in if you don't send Luther to see me. And Luther went to see the Pope, and the first thing he walked in there, usually a priest would go to the Pope and kiss his ring and call him Your Holiness. They said he walked in and said, what do you want, Your Hellishness? He told him, you're the Antichrist. Now, he was not the Antichrist, but he was a Antichrist. Anybody that wants to take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ is an Antichrist. Whether that's a priest or a preacher or a nun or a pope or your husband, your wife, or your children, or a politician. An Antichrist is the opposite of Christ. They want His power, His authority, His seat. Now here comes a man riding, that first seal broken. Here comes a man riding a white horse, and boy, he looks good. He's bringing peace, and he's wearing white, and he's riding a white horse, or mobile, Pope mobile. Have you ever noticed, by the way, those guys are always so old, they look like they died a long time ago, and they prop them up on those things where they won't fall over. But here he comes. And by the way, this could happen any time. The only thing that's got to happen before this guy shows up is the Lord has to show up in the clouds, according to Acts 1:8. He said, why stand you gazing up here? This Jesus has gone up. He's coming back in same manner, like manner as he left. He's coming back in the clouds. And the trumpet's going to sound. Dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them into the air. And we'll be changed. In the moment, twinkling of eye, our body will be made new and our soul and spirit be reunited with our body. But the next thing that happens after that, while we're in heaven, and while we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, here comes this guy slipping in. And I don't know how he's going to convince people. He may say UFOs took us out of here. I don't know. Seriously. I mean, boy, more every day people believe that stuff. More every day. They're coming back to get us. That's what they say. More every day. They say we're the seed of a different planet or something. Well, I've seen some of them. Some of them probably are, but I ain't. But every day people believe that stuff more and more. And this guy's going to come out shouting peace and safety, and there's going to be turmoil all over the world, and he's going to unite the world under his religion and under his peace. And he's going to do it, Brother Bobby, peacefully. Won't be a war. He'll unite the Muslim with the Christian, so-called Christian. There won't be any real Christians left. But he'll unite the Muslim with those that's left behind that call themselves Christians. He'll unite the Catholic Church with the Islamic faith. He'll unite the Catholic Church with whatever's left of that Protestant church. And by the way, we're not Protestant. We never belong to a Protestant denomination. Amen. And he'll unite Hinduism and all that other stuff together. And he'll say, why can't we just get along? He'll have a bumper sticker. It's got all the different signs on it. It says coexist. Yeah, you've seen it. They're waiting on it, brother. They're looking for it. And when he comes, those old Bible thumpers will be gone. We won't be here to hinder him then, see. And that's what they call us, Bible thumpers. Yeah, they call me that all the time. I said, I don't thump it. I beat it and preach it. Hey, Bible thumping fanatics, that we'll be out of the way. And then they'll say, he'll say, we can have peace. We don't have to have war. We can have peace. We can all unite. After all, we all got the same God. All roads lead to heaven. Is that not what they say? You just be good. You be good. You love your neighbor. You do good unto others, you know. Everybody's okay. You're okay. I'm okay. It don't matter if you're a flaming homosexual and you're 5'10", got bald hair, and want to wear eye makeup and lipstick and use the ladies' bathroom. You all right? You all right? I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all this. If one of those people ever comes out, if I see them coming out or going in the bathroom with one of my kids or my grandkids, you're going to see my picture in the paper. I'm going to be on CNN. Because when he comes out, I'm going to walk over and say, you dirty, rotten pervert. You wasn't born this way. You're a pervert. You're sexually perverted, and somebody needs to knock your block off. And you was in there with my grandyoungin, and you met the man that's fixing to do it, and go ahead and call 911. I'll give you that much time. Amen. You say, well, I thought you was a Christian. Yeah, that's what the world thinks. That's why they're going to love this guy that comes along and says, you're all right, I'm all right, everybody's all right. You met him. There's more of them every day. If you put this kind of preaching on TV, those people would be out there on the front lawn next week, Brother Jeffrey. We wouldn't even be able to get in the building for the rioting and the card carrying and the sign waving and the news people, because this world is getting more and more ready for that stuff every day. Well, I thought Christians were supposed to be peaceful. We are. The Bible says, but be at peace with all men if at all possible. I'm glad the founding fathers of our country wasn't like that crowd. They picked up a gun and said, you're out of God's will and you leave us alone or you die because we're in God's will. Amen. Boy, you can't talk like that. They fixed to take Andrew Jackson off the $20 bill because he talked like that. Well, actually, they're going to put him on the back. Yeah, they are. But look, he's coming. Peace. Now, I grew up in that peace nick, or whatever you call it, age, the age of peace signs, you know, and all that stuff. I grew up in that. But one day I went down to Kershaw, South Carolina. I was riding around with a friend of mine. I was about 16, maybe 17, I don't know. And we went down there to Kershaw, and y'all know Kershaw don't have but two real streets and a half a street, and everybody cruised up and down that street and went by the bowling alley and turned around and come back, went up the restaurant and turned around and come back. But we thought there was a lot of pretty girls there, so we went down there, you know. We ended up riding around in a Camaro, convertible Camaro, me and him. And these pretty girls, I don't know why they picked us up. But we got in that. No, they owned the Camaro. And I was sitting in the back. I was sitting in the back with these girls and had no clue what to do. And he was up front, didn't have no clue what to do. And people ride by and they go, well, where I grew up, we was all going. But everybody saw down there when they waved at each other, they went. And finally, I asked one of those girls, I said, are they mad at y'all or something because y'all riding us boys from Lancaster around? And she laughed. She said, no. I said, well, why are they shaking their fist at us? She said, they're not shaking their fist at you. She said, that's the high sign. I said, no, what? We give the peace sign and Lancaster. She said, oh, no, no. This is Billy Jack, power to the people. Y'all remember that? Power to the people. Needless to say, I didn't mess with the boys. But you know, our world's getting to the point, especially in America, to where if we don't allow the world to run over us and abuse us and malign us and falsely accuse us, and if we stand up for what we really believe, they might just, the day's coming where they'll kill you. They already hate you. There's people who hate you. I'll never forget, this guy got on Facebook a couple of years ago, and he saw our website, and he put something on there, and it was kind of derogatory, and so I sent him a note back, and turned out he says he goes to this big church over here. Really, I don't think he does. But it went back and forth till finally, what kind of church is this? So I took a video of a camp meeting. And one of them old-fashioned barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling preachers, you know, Tony Hudson. Some of y'all know Tony Hudson. And I put the hardest preaching I could find of Tony Hudson. I mean, he was preaching and hollering and spitting and going on and running up and down the aisle. And then he started putting notes in there, and he started sharing it. And down at the bottom of his share, he'd say, I didn't know there were still cults in Rock Hill. Here's a cult. This is a cult in Rock Hill. He started calling us a cult. And then all those other potheads got on there. And they started making derogatory remarks. So finally I had to block him. But the point being, just because we believe the Bible, and just because we have real preaching, and just because we still believe people need to be saved, everybody's not good, everybody's not going to heaven, and you need to be born again, they think we're strange. But if I'd come in here tomorrow with a white suit with a backward collar and start shouting peace and all this stuff, they'd love us. And Jesus said, don't let that surprise you. He said, they hated me, they hate you. He said, they killed me, they'll kill you. Amen? And here comes that white horse, and the world says, finally, we're going to have peace in religion. Well, I got news for you. You had peace when he sounded the trumpet and took us out. Y'all can do anything you want to with your religion now, because there's nobody to tell the truth anymore. Amen? Number two, when he opened the second seal in verse 3, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now that red is for blood, for war. Here comes a red horse. And he says, now, the white horse brought peace. Now here comes this red horse. Here comes a man riding a red horse, and he's come to kill. He's come to destroy. He's come to stir people up to kill one another. Now, I'm going to go ahead and stop you, and I want you to listen to this. Any guy that comes on television calls himself a reverend, and he inspires rioting in the streets and burning down buildings and shooting policemen, he is an antichrist. He's not a Christian. I don't care how much NBC likes him. He's full of the devil. But he's only a sample of what's going to come. Turn to Matthew again, 24. Matthew 24. And I told you to hold your finger there, and I didn't. Look at Matthew 24 again. Now remember, Matthew 24, you read the whole chapter, you'll find out. This is not leading up to the rapture. Matthew 24 is the tribulation period. It's leading up to the second coming of Christ. And people read Matthew 24 and they try to put us in it today. We're not in this today. And look at Matthew 24 again for that red horse. Look at verse 6 and 7. He said in verse 6, he said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrow." Now this man riding the red horse, he's come to stir some stuff up. He has come to pit people against people, nation against nation. Let me tell you something. There are still Satan worshipers, by the way. And for some reason, they have this biblically uneducated idea that the devil's really a nice guy. He's like old Rodney Dangerfield. He just don't get no respect. You got to be old to know who that was. You old. And people, these people worship. I was down at Red River one day knocking on doors in the trailer park down there, the one that's still there. And I was not, and some of y'all don't know, Sail River Road. They changed the name of it to Sail River Road. And but I was knocking on doors, and this little girl came to the door about, I guess she was about 6 or 8 years old. And I said, "Young lady, is your mom at home?" She said, "Yeah." And then her mama came to the door. And I told her who I was, and I started witnessing to her. She cut me off. She said, "We're not interested." She said, "We're Wiccan." Was you with me? You remember that? And you said, "What does that mean?" I said, "That means she's a witch. She worships the stars and the moon and the elements and all that. But she also worships Satan, whether she calls him Satan or not. She worships the devil." You remember that? And I felt so bad for that little girl when I left. I thought, that little girl's being raised under witchcraft. She's going to die and go to hell because her mama refuses to let her hear the truth. But hey, this guy riding this horse, that red is for blood. He's come not to make peace. Now the first one came, he's come to set up that false kingdom, that false God's kingdom. It's not real. And then he shows himself. Now he's riding a red horse, and what the real person is the devil come to seek and to destroy. That's what he comes for. And listen, the wages of sin is still death. I preached it this morning. And the devil will not be happy until he sees everything destroyed. I remember when I was a teenager, and I didn't know any Christians when I was a teenager. And we do bad things, and people come along, "Boy, if you don't quit drinking all that beer, you're going to hell." And somebody would say, "Well, when we get to hell, we'll have a party." That's what they say. That's where all our friends are. And we're going to meet our friends. You remember saying that? "We're going to meet our friends. We'll have a big party." Will you say that? How stupid can you get? And then what was that group saying? "Highway to Hell." Boy saying "Highway to Hell." He bragged about going to die and go to hell. And it wasn't like, hey, it was right after that song became number one. He had a car wreck and died, and he's in hell today. And I guarantee you, he ain't partying, Tracy. I guarantee you, he's down there right now saying, "Preacher, preach it. Tell them don't come here. I was wrong." But see, that false Christ is going to come along, give you a false peace. And then the old devil's going to show who he really is. And he's going to stir up nation against nation. And they're going to go to war against each other. And did you know, listen, that these people are going to kill each other? They're going to kill. Now, they got what they wanted. They got rid of the church. They got rid of the Bible. They got rid of Jesus. And they're slowly doing that every day. And you keep thinking, boy, this one more thing, they're going to be happy if we just do this. They'll never be satisfied. You give them prayer today, you got to give them the Bible tomorrow. You give them the Bible the next day. The next day, you got to give them the bathroom. Amen. And now in Charlotte, Charlotte School District, it's against the law for a teacher to call any of her students anything except student or scholar. Can't say boy or girl. That's against law. Because, see, you will be intimidating them, impressing them that they have to be a boy or a girl, and maybe they're not really a boy or girl. They just look like one. Now, you give them that. You give them that, and next week, there's going to be a woman that thinks she's a man and dresses like a man teaching that little old girl that she's a man too. And then the next week, you have a man wearing a dress and lipstick, and he's going to be in there teaching those little boys that they're probably little girls on the inside. They're never satisfied. But they'll tell you, boy, if we could just have this, this will bring peace. And you think when the Antichrist comes in and he sets up his fake religion and his fake peace that they'd be satisfied. But no, sir, the devil turns them against one another. And now they're killing each other. Nation against nation. Wars and rumors of wars. Then look at that third horse. Look at verse 5 and 6. When he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. You know what he's saying? This black horse, the black one, is weighing out food. He is portioning out the amount of food that people can have. You know why? Because war always is followed by hunger. Because the young men that would have been planting and producing, they've gone off to war, they've been killed, and for years after that, somebody's got to feed people. And that's exactly what this represents. But I want you to notice this, for a penny. Now to us, penny don't mean anything, but back then that was a day's wages. A whole day. You remember the parable of Jesus, and he said the man put him to work and he paid them all. A penny. Now listen to this. Food's going to get so scarce, they're going to pay a whole day's wages for a little bit of food. You say it won't never happen. Yes, it will. We've had examples of it already. They said in Germany right before World War II, said they had to literally carry a wheelbarrow full of money to the grocery store to get one loaf of bread. One loaf of bread. In Brazil right now, they've revalued their currency about 10 different times. It used to be what was called a one is now called a thousand, and what used to be called a thousand is now called a million. So now, instead of having a $1 bill, you got a $1,000 bill. And instead of having a $1,000 bill, if you had a $1,000 bill, now it would be called a $1 million bill. There's your truckload of money right there just to get a loaf of bread. And that's happening all over the world. You see, we're so insulated, we're so blessed, God's put a wall around us. We don't see all this stuff. And I'm going to tell you the truth, most Christians don't want to see it. Because if you saw it, you'd be accountable. You'd have to pray, you'd have to give, you'd have to witness if you saw what's really going on. Christians are riding around with blinders on. And they got hearing aids, they got them turned down real low. They don't want to hear that stuff. Don't tell me that, preacher. That'd give me nightmares. It's supposed to. And here they are, people starving to death. Black horse represents death. Look at Matthew 24 again, 7 and 8 again. Last part of verse 7 says, there shall be famines. Famines. That verse 8 again says, this is only the beginning. People are going to die. They're going to starve to death. You say, preacher, I just can't believe that. Listen, in this country, poor people throw away more food than some rich people have in other countries. I remember growing up, I went and worked in a cotton mill when I was 16. I worked in there with a black man. He had 13 children. We brought our lunch to work. They had a cafeteria, but who could afford it? And we brought our little sack lunch to work. And in the basement weave room where I worked at that time, there was no break room. You had to go, they called it the water house. Y'all remember what the water house really was? It was the bathroom. But it'd be a big bathroom, and you'd have benches in there, and people would sit in there and eat. Because you didn't want to sit out there in the weave room and eat, you'd be eating cotton. So we sat in the water house and we'd eat. And I sat in there and I watched that man. I'd never seen a black man eat chicken like that. Every piece of chicken he just put in his mouth and bring it out, it'd be shiny. That bone wouldn't have gristle on it. It wouldn't have nothing. He ate everything. He ate the gristle, he ate the skin, he ate the meat, he ate the gristle. Anything that was on that bone, he ate it. He didn't stop there. I'd never seen anybody do this. He popped that chicken bone leg open and he cracked it open. He reached in there and licked the marrow out of it. You know why? He was poor. He learned you better eat every bit of what you can eat off this chicken because you ain't getting nothing else. Amen? So he learned to eat all of it. Amen? And now we're so rich and we're so fat and we're so spoiled. Nobody thinks like that anymore. I was talking to my mama the other day. And I said, Mama, you remember when we had a garden? She said, oh, yeah, I remember that garden every year. She'd get a guy with a mule and a plow to come down to the house and plow us up a garden about the size of this room. And that was enough to feed our family for the winter. And I hated that garden. I despised that garden because she made me work in it. I hated it. I liked what come out of it, but I didn't like to have to go in it. And while the other kids was all playing, I was working in the garden. I said, Mom, you remember you used to whip me and make me weed that garden? She said, yes, sir. We had to have that food for the winter. I said, you remember when you used to take those tomatoes and those string beans and those peas and those lima beans and those speckled butter beans and how you'd cook them and put them in bags and jars? We didn't have, what do they call those, ball jars or she didn't have money to buy those. We used old peanut butter jars and jelly jars and any kind of jar we got, you know, we'd save it. And I said, you remember when you'd can that? She said, yeah. She said, that soup tastes real good about February, didn't it? People don't worry about that anymore. You see, the devil's setting it up where we don't worry about things anymore. Amen? So when poverty comes and hunger comes, people will fight each other to death to get a little bit to eat. Go back and read the Old Testament. Children of Israel, the ladies would fight each other over whose child they were going to eat. They sold dove's dung to eat because they were locked in the city and couldn't get out. I mean, that's some nasty stuff. But in order to survive, they did what they had to do. And Americans do not, the only place in the world that preaches the Bible like we do and has as many as we do, and Americans don't want to hear that stuff. So when it comes, it's going to be bad, buddy. That's why he's riding a black horse representing death and famine. Now, I'd rather you shoot me and kill me than let me starve to death. And I couldn't watch one of my children starve to death. But people in other countries do. And listen, God's blessed us so much, we're so insulated from that stuff that when it comes, Americans will be the worst ones on planet Earth to kill each other to get something to eat. Amen? I believe that. I want you to notice something that until our generation, I couldn't say this. I want you to go back to that verse 6. I got to hurry. Look at verse 6. The last part of it. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, for years, if you read commentaries, they said that oil meant olive oil. And wine meant they drank, you know, wine for everything, unfermented. But I got to think about this one day. I thought, I don't know if that's what that means or not, Brother Bobby. What's the most sought after thing on planet Earth today? Oil. And they say whoever controls the oil controls the world. And what's the most the world is eat up with entertainment and having fun, and what is most served with that? Wine. Now I'm not saying that's all it is. I'm just saying sure sounds like it could be, don't it? If you don't think countries will destroy each other over oil, I want you to watch Russia. They're setting up right now. They've moved into Syria. They've moved into Iran. They've moved into Iraq. They're taking over those little countries piece by piece. I want you to look at China. China has little oil. They have to buy a lot of oil. But China's setting, building islands. They're creating islands in the middle of the sea so they can put air bases and bombers closer to the Middle East. Yeah. It's the truth. Yeah. How many of y'all seen that where they're building islands off those things? Yeah. Now, they're not doing that because they like to build islands. Yeah. And they're not doing that for fishermen. They've fished for 1,000 years without those islands. Right. And they're putting Air Force bases on with bombers. Right. Why would you think they would do that? Oil. It's all about oil. Death. Destruction. Now I want you to look at that fourth horse. Chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 again. Chapter 6, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed him with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. 1/4 of the people on planet earth will die when this person shows up. There's over 6 billion people. I need a mathematician. What is 1/4 of 6 billion? One of you mathematicians. Huh? My wife could tell you just like that. 1.5 billion people will die when this man shows up. Can you imagine that? I can't. And it says hell's going to follow him. You know why? All those people are lost. Every one of them lost. Could this be where Isaiah says hell hath enlarged itself? Could this be what causes earthquakes and volcanoes during the tribulation period? As hell enlarges itself, and it is in the center of the earth, as it enlarges itself, all that molten rock around hell has to go somewhere and causes earthquakes and causes volcanoes and such as that. Pale horse. Look at Matthew 24, 8 through 10. I got to quit so the kids can go home. Matthew 24, look at verse 8 through 10. All these are the beginning of sorrows. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Did you see that? They're going to be offended and they're going to hate one another. Why? Now he's talking to Israel here. He's not talking to the church. He's not talking to... He didn't say they're going to be offended because of you, the church, the Christian. They're going to be offended because of Israel. Because they hate Israel. Now I don't know how much you watch world news, but if you'll watch world news 5 minutes, Israel's name's going to come up. One of the smallest nations in the world and yet hated by every nation. Even our nation has turned against Israel with our current president. And if we get that other one in there that's following him, she'll be against Israel too. And you know what? It's caused wars and it's caused death and destruction when those nations all around Israel, and they hate Israel so much. But the good news is God takes care of that nation. And I want you to notice we're ending on Israel. This is about Israel and God bringing His nation back home, bringing them to the Savior. That's what it's all about. And I know you've read those books and saw those TV preachers that they want to preach, you know, the tribulation period is about getting people saved. It is not. It is not. That's past. There's no Holy Spirit going to be here anymore to convict them anymore. He's not going to draw them anymore. Now, there will be people saved, but it won't be by grace through faith. It'll be by faith plus works. They'll have to die for what they say they believe. And we'll get to that later. We're going to have to quit tonight. But he's coming. Now, let me ask you something. If all this looks like it's getting so close, and it is, didn't it? How close must the rapture be? How close must the trumpet be if all this is that close? Amen. Any day. I wish I could sing it any day now. Amen. Any day now. He's coming. Amen. And some of y'all, maybe you'll get right one day and sing that song for us. Any day. Do it before he comes, okay? He's coming. Are you ready? Well, I'm ready. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. I want it so bad I can feel it. And if you don't, you know what it tells me? You don't know him. Because if you knew him, you'd love him. And if you loved him, you'd want to see him. Well, I can't wait to fall down at his feet and say, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." I just can't wait. I may not have many crowns. I might not have but one. I know I got one. But I tell you what, I'm going to cast them at his feet, buddy. I'm not worthy. Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory forever and ever. And it, hey, if that don't excite you, I'd check up. Preacher, I'm young. You trying to scare me. If that's what it takes to keep you out of hell, I'll scare you to death. Somebody told me one day, he said, "Preacher, you're trying to scare people into getting saved." I said, "You're absolutely right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You can't get saved till you fear the Lord." That's the problem. We've taken the sting out of death. We've taken the fear out of dying and going to hell. And then when we read stuff like this, people look at us and say, "Man, that scares me." Well, don't scare us. I hope you're ready. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God never changes.